Valid, good, thoughtful question, and therefore it is worthy of our attention. I hinted this morning in respect to the question, so we look at the question tonight, and that is, Brother McFarlane, you were the one who asked the question, and I know I paraphrased it correctly, but could you say what you said then? I remember the point, the lesson that had been dealt with. There were about two lessons dealing with the fact that God's effort to make us ready for heaven is ongoing. All Christians are work in progress. We are not finality, we are potentials. Christ starts with us at baptism, and it is from there onward that he will work with us if we are willing, if we submit to him. Christ will work with us throughout our lives with the goal of making us more Christ-like every day. And we must be mindful of that. The Holy Spirit works with us to help us achieve those goals and objectives. So, yes, Brother McFarlane.
Yes, Brother Mitchell. The question was asked based on a point that you made, wherein you said that once we become Christians, the image of Christ is continually being formed in us. So the question was, can a Christian comfortably dying the Lord, knowing where he or she is going based on the life that, you know, he would have lived?
Okay, as I've said, it's a good question you're asking. Based on that point, that the Christ-like nature, our growth, is formed in us progressively.
Right.
We do not become what we are to be in 1 week, 1 month, or 1 year. So on that basis, you're asking, can we then, as we live the Christian life, should I get sick having been a Christian, say, for 6 months? But during that period that I have been a Christian, I've been a trying Christian. I believe the truth that I've been taught. I checked them out myself. I studied the Bible, and I tried to live up to the gospel. But I've been Christian only for 6 months or a year. I got sick, and from all indication, the doctor indicated to my family that I have only another week to go. Can I depart this life with confidence that even though I just started with Jesus Christ 3 or 4 or 6 months ago, or a year ago, can I depart this life with confidence that I am saved? Am I representing your thoughts?
Yes, it is within that sphere.
Yeah.
However, I would want to look also at the Christian who has been living the Christian life, you know, for quite some time as well. So both the younger Christian and the more mature Christian.
Okay. Okay. And if I, in answering, leave out anything, call it to my attention. Jesus Christ, from we become Christian, Jesus Christ expects growth and development. From we become Christian, from the day we begin. And I may use the biological situation that all of us went through to explain. When a child, an infant is born, that infant is usually 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds. Some children are bigger, some little smaller, depending. But let's put it at an average of, say, 6, 7 pounds. Now, that's, of course, that's why they are infants. Now, the mother and father and all those family members who surround that child know that that child in another year not going to be 6 or 7 pounds. Why? Biological development and growth is a natural thing. It is expected. But here is it, when we don't see that growth in weight, in height, then mother and our father becomes alarmed and they usually take the child to a doctor. That's a natural thing because growth is natural and it is expected. Well, it is the same way in the spiritual realm. God, I'm going to be saying this many times probably during the next 30 minutes, 45 minutes, that God expects growth. He begins with us at baptism, Jesus Christ. And it is from there that God, in preparing us for eternity, works with us, the Holy Spirit, to have developed, have formed in us that Christ-likeness, that Christ-like character. Let us run to Hebrews chapter 5. We want both chapter 5 and chapter 6. Pick me up the last few verses in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, from around verse 11 through 14 of chapter 5, then you will pick up in chapter 6 from verse 1. And notice the emphasis in this passage is growth.
Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered.
Wait. The writer of Hebrews was saying to the Jewish audience, Christians in Judea, places like that, who accepted Christ. He was talking about the priesthood of Christ, but he used the ancient priesthood of Melchizedek to illustrate. So he said, of whom?
Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing.
What the writer is saying, there are a lot I would like to say about this priesthood of Christ coming from Melchizedek. Many things. But he said, read seeing again.
Seeing ye are dull of hearing.
What does that mean? That's why, you know, many think that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. What he's implying is, I want to say some more things on this great priesthood of Christ, tracing its origin back to the type in Melchizedek. But he said, you are hard of hearing people. Truly. Were they biologically hard of hearing? No, they were not deaf. But that's what that means. And what the writer of Hebrew is saying, all the teaching I give you, it's like you act like something happened to your hearing. Seeing you have hard of hearing and dull of?
Dull of hearing.
Dull of hearing means you are deaf. Uh-huh.
For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again.
Brothers and sisters, so often over the years I point out this, the inspired writer saying what he has just said here, is not his goal and objective, you know. It's God. For when by time
ye ought to be teachers.
Wait, who expect us to be teacher, writer? You know God. Does he expect that of every person here? Yes. My God, coming to church from day to day, week to week, is it once a week you come? Well, that's bad, but you are still learning something if you pay attention. The Almighty God expects that to be translated into you gaining knowledge with the confidence that you can share it out there. You can use that knowledge to lead others to Christ. That's what God expects. We are in weeks to come launch out on a personal evangelism discussion in Wednesday night. And it is to bring everybody on board that don't tell yourself you can't win anybody, me can't teach, me can't do that. As long as you tell yourself you can't, then you can't. You will put yourself in a can't bracket. But you begin to tell yourself, with God's help, I'll be able to share Christ's truth with others. You'll be surprised how much you start accomplish for Christ. So what you have read here, that when by reason of time you are to be teacher, who expect me to be teacher? God! Amen. That's not any preacher or elder or faithful brother's objective. We preach it and tell it because we know that's God's objective for us too. Don't believe that some come to just warm the bench and then those of us on the pulpit are the one to lead. No. You know why? Every person here, God, who is a Christian, God gives you your world. There is a circle of people you meet that no preacher, elder, deacon, faithful brother will ever meet those people. So God doesn't expect the preacher or the elder or the deacon or what to convert them. He placed those people in your world. They are your responsibility. If they end up in hell without ever getting a chance to learn a little New Testament truth, God will not hold me responsible because God had placed them in your world. When by reason of time you are to be teachers. The book of Hebrew was not written to church leaders. That's why in chapter 7 and places like that, the writer was telling the Christian how they should treat both the preacher and the elders. That's right. That's right. When by reason of time you are to be teachers, you have need. That is, you are so backward, you are so retarded, that the first principle of the oracles of God, that is, that men must hear, believe, repent, and be baptized for the removal of their sin. Those are the first principle. The writer of Hebrews said, you are so backward that you have need that somebody come and teach you that again. As we go through this lesson, you should be asking yourself, is that a description of me? That's right. So read on, brother.
For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God.
Remember, first principle means those first foundational principle that you must obey, and it includes faith in Christ, repentance from sin, baptism, and all of that. Read on.
And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
You notice the metaphor that is used. You see, milk is for baby, eh? Eh? Now when the child start a leaving baby stage and getting up to bigger, then you give the child hard food, eh? Eh? Well, it's the same here. He said you have need of milk. In other words, those first principles that you were taught, you have been a Christian so long that God expects you to be teacher, but no, you are retarded. And that is not good in any family. Huh? He said there is need that someone teach you the rudiment of the first principle of the oracles of God. You have need of milk, not as strong
meat.
All these words are metaphor, using things like milk and meat to show the Christians to whom the letter was written that they have not made the progress that they are expected by God to make. Read on.
For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness.
You see, notice here. You notice it? We are expected to be skillful in what?
In the word of righteousness.
The word of righteousness. Amen. And that skillful in the word of righteousness is not just from the pulpit. One of the pulpit's job is to equip you. But when we equip you, when we teach you, and like all discussion like we have Wednesday night, as you sat through Wednesday night discussion, you should learn, you should take notes. You're not going to remember everything, but you are to remember some things. Skillful in the word. That's one of the goals and objectives you should aim for. If we have more members at every congregation that aim towards learning the truth that they can share it, my God, the Lord's body would accomplish so much. That's right. But in most cases, you are probably 90-95%, 98% of the congregation. They see their relationship with Christ on them come church once or twice a week and then galang back home and them come. They never see that the truth. You remember the master that gave out the talent? It was given out for the purpose of investment. You all remember? That is, you don't take the money. master resource and either use it for yourself or hide it. You must so use it that you get more on what he gives you. So the resource of the gospel was meant to be used to bring others to Christ. Read on, brother.
For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe.
That's right. And what he's implying, you know, you remain a baby spiritually when you are to be an adult spiritually. Read.
Amen. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good.
Here is another term I always like it. Those who by reason of use. That is, by using the word of God, teaching it, defending it, you develop the skill to use it properly.
Amen.
By reason of use. When you not use it, it will never be yours. You all get it? Why can't I teach like sister such and such? Why can't I teach like brother such and such? Is that sister such and such teach? Sister such and such find ways to share the truth. When the opportunity present itself, sister such and such either will go and put in some more preparation to be ready for the person tomorrow, or they are already prepared, and same way is brother such and such. It is by using the word. Isn't practice made perfect? That's it. As long as you just listen to it every Sunday or every Wednesday night, but you never have or find or seek opportunity to use it, then you're in a terrible condition. Even those who by use of the word have their senses exercised by that usage. That's the end of it.
Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
You notice that too? Even knowing right from wrong, it does not come simply by being in the church for 10, 20, 15 years. It comes by the use and making use of the truth that you learn. The more you make use of it, is the more you know what is right from what is wrong. That's the end. Now pick up at chapter 6. Remember, all what we have read here is talking about growth and development.
Therefore, leaving the principles.
Okay, the therefore is telling you that I'm still on the subject. You get the point? The therefore, even though we start a new chapter, that is chapter 6, the brother is reading from Hebrews chapter 6, that it is sometimes referred to as a conjunctive adverb. It works as a conjunction and it works as an adverb. Therefore, telling you, I am still on the point that I was on in chapter 5. Of course, at that time when it was written, the Bible was not divided into chapter and verses. But the writer by therefore is telling you, I'm continuing on what I was on just now. Therefore,
leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on.
Don't misunderstand that. It's not saying you must abandon the doctrine of Christ. So please, like Vivian Delana was playing when we were going home, Jennings, and man raised keen about baptism. The name in which you must baptize. You must say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, seems if the more ignorant they are, is the louder they speak. As Viviana asked that probably one Sunday night or whatever, deal with it is something that has been dealt with here. And that is, you know, he doesn't realize, as plain as the Bible makes it, that to do something in a person's name means to do it by the person's authority, by the person's command. And there are quite a lot of passages that make that very plain. But here is a man raising all the cane he can, challenging people. And years ago, when Ian Boyne tell him, say, well, I will take him up on some of the things he's teaching, and both of us should appear on Ian Boyne program. The man chicken out. And I've never seen Ian Boyne so upset, literally vexed. Got up out of his seat, the man, Jennings sent two of his assistant there. And when I finish with those two assistants, I don't believe him will send them back anywhere again. Truly. So a lot of time, the crow on the pulpit, because there's nobody in their audience to challenge them. So don't misunderstand what Paul is saying here. Leaving the doctrine
of Christ. Let us go on.
What does that mean? It's important that you don't misunderstand. What he's saying, yes, you have been with Christ long enough that teaching you about faith, repentance, and baptism, we shouldn't have to be coming back to you with that and the place they play in any person's salvation. You should move on to some mature stuff. Amen. Faith, repentance, and baptism, those are the basic. You have not only obeyed those, you should master those subjects. That's the implication. When he said, leaving the doctrine
of Christ, let us go on unto perfection.
He was in no way implying that the Christian to whom he wrote were to forget Christ's doctrine. He was saying, you are to have progress beyond the knowledge on these subjects. Read that.
Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God.
Now, repentance, faith, baptism are all fundamental to man's salvation. What he's saying, you've been with Christ long enough that you should well master those. Read on.
Of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And this will we do if God permit.
Mm-hmm.
For it is impossible for those who...
So you may stop there. All that we have read in chapter 5 and chapter 6, it's about growth and development. That is Hebrew. Let me just... let us look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 through 9. Again, I'm sort of pointing out a fundamental truth in understanding what Christ expects of us. So 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 4 to verse 9, a passage that we are well known, but the passage again emphasizes growth and development.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature.
That by these, watch here, we are given what kind of promises?
Precious promises.
Precious promises we are given by God. And he said, by?
By these, ye might be partakers of the divine nature.
By these, from all indication, refer to some of the things he's about to mention. And pointing out, it is by adding these to your growth and development that day by day you partake of what? The divine nature. What is that divine nature? The Christ-like personality.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Mm-hmm.
And beside this, giving all diligence.
That is put out effort. We are here? Giving all diligence. Put out all the effort you can.
Amen.
To do what?
Add to your faith virtue.
That's growth, you know. The moment he used the word add, it involved growth. And notice too, it's when we add these Christ-like quality to our lives that we are going to take on the divine nature. But notice, it is growth. The fact that you are to add means that it does not necessarily come overnight. It is growth. That add is you. Mean it comes gradually.
Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful.
Notice it used the word, if these things be in you. But that other word it used is striking. Abound. Amen. The word abound means to grow. So we must not simply add these qualities. They must grow in us.
Amen.
Now, so brothers and sisters, when any of us became Christian, baptism was the final step that placed us in Christ, that put us under Jesus' management. It is there that the Christ-like character started. Watch here now. If at every point in that Christian life I am striving to do my best, I want you to listen this carefully because it is a very important point in understand the working of God. If at every point or at every stage I am trying my utmost best to be pleasing to God, the Bible uses a term. Let me say what I'm saying and then we go to the passage in the book of, I think, John. It's going to be John chapter 15. And I'll give you the verse in a few minutes. If at every stage or every point I am trying my best to be a faithful, true child of God, watch here now, even though I might have been a Christian only for 6 months. But during that 6 months, God sees that, one, I really want to serve him. And God sees that I am trying. Have I completed gaining the total Christ-like character? No, not at 6 months. Well, I am trying, and God sees that. God sees I want to serve him. Whatever I do, I try to be willing. But after 6 months, death comes my way. Will he save me? Yes. Yes. Would I be more Christ-like if I were a Christian for another 5 years? Yes! If I continue with that willingness and that wanting to serve him, if I were around for another 5 years, would I be a better Christian than I was at the 6 months? Yes. But will he save me at that? Yes, because at that stage, God sees that I was willing. I was putting out my best effort then according to the knowledge I have. He, through the Holy Spirit, was working with me to get me at a higher stage. And he knows that I want to grow to get to that higher stage. But death creeps in. Let us look at the passage of John, St. John chapter 15, and I think I want verse 7.
If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Abiding in Christ means you have fellowship with him. Abiding in his word means you are living by his word. It is the same thought that John expressed in 2 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and verse 9 and 10. Let us hear that. Remember, Christ has just said it in St. John chapter 15 and verse 7. Abiding in Christ. What you say that mean again, Brother Mitchell? It means to remain faithful to Christ. And his word abiding you, meaning you are living by the gospel of Christ. His word direct your life. Here, John, in fact, he's the same person. The same person, John, that wrote what we have just read in chapter 15, verse 7. Is the same John that is writing now what we are reading in chapter 1, 2 John, I think, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7.
And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceive.
This again is telling us to live by what Christ commands. That is the gospel. Read.
For many deceivers are entered into the world.
Is that 2 John?
2 John, verse 6 and 7.
Look at 1 John 1.
verse 6.
Just start it, let me see.
From verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie.
May I always remember these terms? Walking in the light mean you know the gospel and you are living by it. That's your guide morally and spiritually. Walking in darkness mean you don't have the gospel of Jesus Christ to guide your life. Read.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light,
that means to live by the gospel, because the light here is Christ and his word, the gospel.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin.
You notice the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us. But if we walk in the light, why do we still need cleansing? You see, even though we walk in the light, we may slip up here and there. So we need cleansing. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth, which means is present continuous tense. Which means it continues to cleanse us. Wait, we need that continuous cleansing. Wait. It matters not how faithful the man or woman is. The person needs that continuous cleansing. But notice this. That continuous cleansing is for children of God who are trying, who walk in the light. They respect and love the gospel and strive to live by it. The blood of Jesus Christ does not just cleanse us at baptism. And this is why Brother McFarlane, this is why the Christian at 6 months would be saved. Because God sees that that person, even though a young Christian, the person keeps trying. The person wants to learn more of the will of God and do it. God sees that. So Christ continued to apply the blood of his to the person. Simply because that person is walking in the light. The person is a faithful Christian. That was verse 6 and 7. Read from verse either 8 or verse 9 and 10.
Verse 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
But may I? This is also conditional upon walking in the light. Living by the gospel. This does not apply to the backsliding Christian. That's right. The man or woman who give up, that continuous cleansing is not for the person. And this is why the scripture is correct when the person make it plain that it is by walking in the light. But that you and I are walking in the light does not mean we are sinless. Read. I was about to write something on the board. Read.
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
You hear? That goes on at every stage of our life. We need cleansing. Because there are times when we sin and even don't know that we sin. But because of God's faithfulness, those of us who are in Christ, those of us who have not given up the faith, The Almighty God continues to work with us. Read verse 10.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
May I? Do you know, even if you do not verbalize it, but you think it, it is a terrible reflection on the Almighty God? Are we all there? Wait. If your self-righteous pride takes you to where you feel you have arrived there, and you can't see in any way that you sin or offend God, if you think that, you don't have to say it, then you are reflecting on the Almighty God in a most terrible way. Christians are to be humble people. We are to recognize our frailty even when we are doing our best. So when, Brother McFarlane, when that man or woman who has been a Christian for 1 week, 4 weeks, 6 months, 1 year, if that person continues to, one, that person wants to serve God, two, that person continue to walk by the knowledge that he has, he or she has, that person is performing as good as can be expected. If that person died, that person is saved. That does not mean that if the person had lived longer, the person wouldn't be even a greater Christian. The person would. But at any stage, any of us pass while we are performing our best. You see, that we must remember that it's are we just thank you, sir? We come to church, but we wish we didn't have to come. We try to shortchange God. And your Christian responsibility, you're always finding excuse. Then, brother or sister, whether you're a Christian for 100 years or for 6 weeks, you are in a terrible state. God expects us to be serious people. If any man will to do his will, that willingness to serve God is important. Time I think is gone. Now 6 o'clock we start. And it's now what? 7:30 or something to 8? They're quiet. Let me see. I want to deal, not tonight, because I want to deal, Brother McFarlane, with appetite and desire. And I want to look at some more passages to show that the Almighty God through Christ has an ongoing job with us. Remember, don't ever forget the job of the church. The church was meant by God to be like a spiritual hospital. The medication is the word of Christ, the gospel. Each time you come to church and hear a sermon that is Bible-based, you are getting medicine from Christ. Even though he may use one of us brothers, the human agent, don't ever take it lightly, because you need it. That's what God is using to guide you, to strengthen you, to build you up, and to formulate. I want to revisit that passage too, the one in Galatians chapter 4:19. Paul promising the Galatians that he wants to work with them until Christ be formed in them. Well, but Brother Mitchell, suppose those Galatians had died at that time, because Paul is implying that Christ has not yet completely been formed in them. All those Galatians that would have been performing their best in sincerity, they would be saved. We will take another look at that passage when we pick up. I may pick up on this next week, Sunday night, because there are quite a few other passages I would like to share with you. But I have given you enough to throw on until we probably revisit the subject. Thank you very much.